Holiday greetings, and welcome to our special holiday episode for 2009. We hope you enjoy this episode of the Dicecast.
Special holiday episode, 2009 in review. Yeah!
Like to start off this podcast to thank all of you listeners for taking the time to listen to us, and also to wish you happy holidays and as well a happy new year, and may the best happen to you in 2010.
No matter what your persuasion is, or even if you do not celebrate any of the holidays this year, it is a good time of year to take stock of everything that happened in 2009, and which is what we're going to be doing in this episode with regards to gaming.
So I guess we should probably go over what happened in 2009, maybe look at what happened this year in gaming. And there was quite a few things that happened, but maybe it was slower than the other years. I mean, it wasn't a very active year. It's not like there was a lot of news, but there were a few interesting things that happened.
You see, 2008 was a very busy year because, for one thing, it was the year that D&D 4th Edition was released, and all the legal flap-ups that happened with regard to that. And also a lot of people died. We lost Gary Gygax in 2008. We lost Eric Wujek. We lost N. Robin Crosby, the creator of Harn, and also Bob Bledsoe of Judges Guild. It was easily the saddest year on record for gaming, but that doesn't diminish the fact that this year we did lose one of the fathers of the hobby, Dave Arneson.
Yeah, that's right. Dave Arneson passed away earlier this year. In fact, some of you who might be listening to future episodes of Dicecast can also hear some interviews from people who knew David Arneson.
That's right. We do have an interview coming up with David Wesley. I know I'm pronouncing his name wrong, but he was an old friend of Dave Arneson and was deeply involved with the early development of D&D. One of the things that's important to keep in mind about Dave Arneson is everybody does give credit for D&D, or a lot of people do give credit for D&D to Gary Gygax. As Gary Gygax was the entrepreneur. He's the one who took out the bank loan and who actually worked hard to turn D&D into a product. Whereas Dave Arneson is the person who actually created the whole concept of a role-playing game, him and his friends in Minneapolis. But at this point, we shouldn't understate the great contributions that Dave Arneson made here. He is the one who came up with the idea of turning miniatures war games, which is what it grew out of, into a pursuit with individual characters, and where you're actually inhabiting your character and interacting on a free-form basis rather than just fighting all the time.
I mean, there's been a lot of debate about who did what and when with the D&D universe, I guess you can call it, between Dave Arneson and Gary Gygax. And I guess one of the things that might have been a little bit surprising, or maybe not, I mean, it depends. There was a lot more press when Gary Gygax passed away last year than Dave Arneson this year. I mean, it was one of those things that just happened, I guess. To me, it didn't seem like the mass media paid as much attention. I mean, it was mentioned on the news, though. I mean, it wasn't, but it just wasn't
there was
the same.
A story in Associated Press that was repeated in a lot of places. I think was repeated in the Financial Times of London.
Yeah, but it didn't make it on the Colbert Report. I don't think so.
No. Stephen Colbert did not make his closing joke like he did about Gary Gygax, which was a little bit sad. One thing that we do know, though, is that with Dave Arneson now gone, Gary Gygax gone, and years ago, Tom Moldvoy, who was instrumental in making the early boxed editions of versionless D&D, or version zero D&D, look and feel the way they were, also made the classic adventure Isle of Dread, with all those people gone, we really have lost the first generation of this role-playing game, and it's kind of fitting that this has happened the year that the D&D universe, as you call it, is more fragmented than it's ever been. We've got people, like, before 4th Ed came out, or before this year, we had people playing 3.5. They were the mainstream, right?
Well, 3.0 and 3.5, I guess you can put them all together. I mean, there was the D20 license, and there's the various offshoots of that, all the OGL-compatible games.
Yeah, but, like, back when everybody was playing 3.5, if you were playing 2nd Ed or 1st Ed, you were considered different and not in a good way. But these days, a lot of people are sticking to 3.5 almost as a protest. There are people playing 4th Ed, but there are also the ret clones, the things that emulate 1st Ed D&D and 1st Ed Advanced D&D, like Osric and Labyrinth Lord. And really, the D&D fan base, the fan base of people who are playing games that are demonstrably D&D, has never been more fragmented than it is today.
I guess one of the important things that happened this year was the release of Pathfinder. I mean, that drew a lot of attention from various gamers.
It was easily the big story of Gen Con 2009, the release of Pathfinder. Notably, another game that was very similar, you know, an OGL-type game using the 3.5-type rules for a fantasy RPG, was released exactly the same time at Gen Con. It was Fantasy Craft by Crafty Games, which we reviewed a few episodes ago here on Dicecast.
And another interesting story from the various conventions this year was, I guess you can call it an upset, Mouse Guard winning the RPG award.
Yes, Mouse Guard, designed by Luke Crane and released by Arkea Press, won the Origins Award for Best RPG. Now, that not knocking the game, it's an excellent game, but it is interesting that that happened. It was a 2008 release, and it happened the same year that D&D 4th Ed was running. An indie RPG won this Origins Award.
I mean, does that mean something about D&D, or does that mean about the state of where D&D is going? Maybe it's just getting old? I don't know.
Well, you look at all these awards based on, like, how they're won and how they're run for here. The Origins Awards are like this. They're self-nominations. Companies package up their products that they're confident in. They send it off to GAMA, the Game Manufacturer Association's head office in Columbus, Ohio. A panel of experts decides which ones are going to be displayed as such at the GAMA Trade Show, which is usually in March. I think this coming year it's going to be in April in Las Vegas. And that's attended mostly by industry insiders and retailers. They decide which ones are going to make the shortlist. The shortlisted nominee ones go on a ballot that is voted on exclusively by fans who attend the Origins Game Fair in Columbus, Ohio, which is late June, early July every year. So this was a fan choice. You generally think that if a version of D&D is in the running, the fans are going to vote for D&D hand over fist at the expense of everything else. But instead, they voted for an indie game.
I guess maybe it's just a reaction of what, or maybe for some people, because it was released last year, quote unquote, that it wasn't so new anymore. Who knows? I guess gaming is changing. I guess another important thing that happened this year was the what happened to WizKids. For a lot of people, they were worried about the Mage Knight franchise, with WizKids being bought out by NECA, I understand.
Yeah, that was an interesting story. See, what happened was in late 2008, it was August or September, or actually it might have been July, WizKids announced that they were closing their doors because they were owned by Topps, which is a company that owns, among other things, Bazooka Bubblegum. They decided that WizKids, in spite of the millions of dollars that it made on the various Clicks franchises, was not a product that they wanted to bother marketing anymore because it wasn't making Topps type of money. Now, it was supposed to be bought out by a new consortium that included Michael Eisner of Disney fame at its head. That deal fell through. There was a brief kerfuffle over it possibly being bought out by Upper Deck Entertainment. That fell through too. It might very well have been just a ploy by Upper Deck to get WizKids financials and other things up close and personal. That's what WizKids alleged at the time. And it was pretty much up in the air, like, who would buy WizKids? And a company at this level can't go it alone. They actually do need major corporate backing. And it was announced that they were bought out by NECA. Now, tell us a little bit about NECA here, for people who don't know.
Yeah, so NECA essentially ended up taking the WizKids on. I mean, NECA has been known for making various types of collectibles from various franchises. I think right now they're doing the Twilight franchise, among other things. And essentially, I think the take-home message, a lot of people were worried that WizKids and Mage Knight and Clickies, in other words, would cease to be the moment WizKids closes their door. But soon enough, somebody did pick it up, and I think Mage Knight is still going on strongly. I think the MechWarrior line sort of ended, though, however.
Not so sure about that. Now, just like for those listeners out there who do not play Mage Knight or with any of the clicks, or perhaps you don't consider them to be real miniatures because you don't paint them, as much as you might want to scoff at them, remember that these do sell extremely well. And products that sell well keep your friendly local gaming store in business. And by keeping your friendly local gaming store in business, they make it possible for you to buy the products that you really like your RPG books, your other miniatures, and so on.
Or your Dungeons & Dragons miniatures. Oh, wait, sorry.
Those are still being put out. It's just the Dungeons & Dragons miniatures game is gone. The Dungeons & Dragons miniatures are just being sold now, so you can play 4th Ed.
Yeah, I guess that was another big change, too. I mean, the D&D miniatures was supposed to be the big thing in 2008 and 2009, well, sort of ended. Now it's mostly... Well, I guess it's going back to what the miniatures were supposed to be for. I mean,
running... To support an RPG.
Support an RPG as opposed to just playing, you know...
Just playing skirmishing for the sake of skirmishing.
Yeah.
It's an interesting change there. I mean, like back to the subject of changes in D&D. Like we said, the big story at Gen Con 2009 was the release of the Pathfinder RPG, which has been built up by the open play testing that was done of it. The PDF was available for free for a year. If you were only to listen to podcasts and only to read web forums, you'd think that Pathfinder was the biggest RPG out there. But if you were to look at the sales that are going on at game stores and through Amazon and whatnot, it's actually 4th Ed is still ahead of everybody.
I mean, I guess 4th Ed is, you know, back when comic and game retailer, and they've been gone for at least 2 years now, if not more. They used to talk about who's on top of the various types of genres, from RPGs to board games, that kind of hype with... reiterate their findings. They would always list the quote-unquote maker of the Dungeons & Dragons game as being the top of the market. And I guess it's still true now, mm-hmm. although it does look like the market is more fragmented now than it was before. A lot of people are still clinging to 3.0 and 3.5, including some fellow podcasters who actually devote an entire sanctuary to it.
You enter a room. Immediately to your right, there is a computer, some recording equipment. In the back of the room, there is a very impressive shelf of Dungeons & Dragons 3.5 edition source books. What do you do?
I think I'd like to set up a website.
Roll for web design. You register the domain 35privatesanctuary.com. What kind of content would you like on your website?
I'd like some original content. I'd like some reviews of 3.5 edition material. I'd like a forum to talk about Dungeons & Dragons and other 3.5 related.
Don't forget that you've got the microphones on your right.
Oh, I'd like a podcast.
Roll for podcast. Critical hit. 3.5's Private Sanctuary is the online resource for Dungeons & Dragons gamers that will continue to play 3.5 edition of the rules. You can find us at www.35privatesanctuary.com.
Hi, Ryan.
Actually, another change also that happened, it was the new Warhammer role-playing game. It's not out yet, but it was announced.
It is out now, actually. It was released in November.
Oh, okay. It's
funny that it didn't make as huge splash in the forums. Like, people are still talking about Pathfinder. People are still talking about 4th Ed and, like, Exalted and whatnot. They're not talking so much about Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay by Fantasy Flight Games.
So I guess it's one of those things that just happened, I guess, but nobody really paid too much attention to it. I mean, it's kind of recent. I mean, November was just like...
This is very true. I don't understand myself, because it was supposed to be this huge, huge, huge product, and it was released just in time for the Christmas season, and, well, like I said, doesn't seem to be making a huge splash. Not yet, anyway.
And any news as to what the form it actually took? Was it like...
It took the form that we predicted a few episodes ago. It is essentially a board game with role-playing rather than a...
Like Descent.
I guess, yeah.
Other than that, I mean, there wasn't that much happening. I mean, if we just look it all up, okay, Dave Morrison passed away, which was sad earlier this year. We've had the new Pathfinder RPG, which people have hailed as being the major release. There's still a lot of people playing 3.0, 3.5, and 4Fan anyway. Fantasycraft came in there. Mousegout was a big change, big surprise at Gen Con.
It was a big surprise at Origins, just at Origins, the Origins Award for Best RPG.
And finally, I mean, there's I guess those were the major points, and I guess there were some things that just went under the radar, like the new Warhammer role-playing game. Maybe it just hasn't catched on yet, or maybe it hasn't exploded yet with a lot of attention from forum and people. But overall, I mean, this, as a year in gaming, this was, I wouldn't say it was the most active year. Certainly it wasn't the most boring year, but I guess it was average. It wasn't as sad maybe as last year. I mean, last year
was both sad and exciting at the same time because of all the big releases that were going on then.
Yeah.
What the thing is, like, if you hang around game industry circles, you're going to hear a lot of people saying, you know, the industry is dying. Games aren't selling anymore.
Podcasts aren't listened to. We are a figment of your imagination.
And, people are listening to podcasts because they're free. That's the cool thing. But what is interesting, though, is like people are always saying in this industry, you know, games are not selling. You know, PDFs are going down the tube because, well, Wizards of the Coast aren't releasing any D&D or RPG products at all in PDF. They abandoned the format. Everybody was sounding the death knell of the PDF, but that's not true because PDFs, you save half of your production costs by printing in PDF, quote-unquote.
I guess other interesting thing that happened this year was all the releases from White Wolf, the recent World of Darkness books. Has it been making the same... Have they had the same presence that they had in the past? I'm not sure. I guess that's kind of debatable.
It's still out there. If you go to any friendly local gaming store and you see the books that are on sale, if they're going to have two things in the RPG section, it will be D&D and White Wolf. D&D and New World of Darkness, without fail. If they have only one, they're going to have D&D, but that's very rare. They generally have at least two. And White Wolf is still de rigueur. It's a staple of the industry.
Speaking of our staples of the industry, I mean, Games Workshop, they've had a little bit of rough time, I guess, last year. I guess this year they're just pulling back, or any news from them?
Well, okay, there was like an annual report they put out where they noted that posted a loss. That was a year before that. The trouble is these things encapsulate sales over a long period. They closed a lot of their retail stores. They also started rolling back the Lord of the Ring franchise so much because one of the things they did say in their annual report is by focusing on that too much, they lost a lot of money because Lord of the Rings is quote-unquote passé.
Well, yeah, it kind of ended after the third movie.
Yeah, but there's something interesting about that, though. The thing is, like, at Gen Con this year, I think it was the fifth edition of Warhammer 40K, which is their flagship. That was released. The people who are really into it are probably just absolutely happy about it. The people who still have their old armies are selling them like crazy on eBay so they can buy the new miniatures. It's a company that's doing well, and it's funny, but, like, in ICV2, you know, if you're at all into comic books or games or popular culture or anything like that, you subscribe to the mailings that come from ICV2.com every day. And one of the things that ICV2 announced is that in anticipation of the release of the complete Lord of the Rings box set for Blu-ray, keep forgetting, new formats, Games Workshop is doing a push for Lord of the Rings miniatures for the strategy battle game this year. Again, just in time for Christmas.
And I guess just to wrap up, maybe we should probably thank all the people that have been helping us out this year. You know, Polymancer often goes to conventions or sends freebie grab bags out. And we just wanted to thank maybe some of the sponsors that have been helping us or participating with this with us.
Yeah, they're like we do have like a very familiar grab bag. If you've been to a lot of conventions this year, you probably picked up one of our bags, probably with a free magazine inside. And numerous companies have contributed to it and have also... you know, we've also demoed product for at conventions.
So, yeah, so we'd like to thank a lot of these people, like Crafty Games, Days and Wonders, Dragon Wing, Bucephalus Games, Out of the Box, GMT Games, Rio Grande Games, Bastion Press, Chaos University, and the list goes on and on. I mean, there's a lot of people that have been helping us out, including a lot of the volunteers have been coming to various conventions. And, of course, we'd also like to thank the volunteers running those conventions. I think one of the important things is that we've noticed this year is that more and more people are getting involved into their local communities, running conventions, and it's very interesting to see that people are still out there caring enough about the hobby to actually keep conventions going and keep a place for game to be.
It's important to remember, like, there are the big national and multinational conventions, like Gen Con, like Origins, like Festspiel Essen. What's the one in Atlanta called again?
Like Dragon Con in Atlanta. Comic Con, to some extent, has some gaming too.
In Comic Con in San Diego.
In San Diego.
There are a lot of Comic Cons out there. Those are important because they create events that are ground zero for major releases and are major gatherings for gamers from all over so they can network, do business, or just so that the fans can talk to the makers. But really where it all happens are the small local cons where people from all around a general area get together, get creative, and run RPGs, minis events, and so on, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of these. Listing them all would take forever, but they're definitely out there, and hats off to all the organizers for these cons. Best of luck for your 2010 season. A lot of people are already starting their preparing for the con for next year. There's some cons coming up in January. So it's really exciting to see that the hobby is still very active out there.
If you do enough searching online, you'll find that just about every month there is a convention somewhere out there within driving distance of where you live.
And remember the old axiom, if you roll them, they will play.
Nice try.
Okay, yeah. That didn't work.
Critical failure.
So I guess that wraps it up for this year. And, well, once again, Happy New Year to all of you. Happy holidays. If you have something you'd like to say about us, our podcast, hey, write us your comments.
Yeah, there are comments available at the website for this podcast. It's dicecast.blogspot.com. You could also send an email to dicecast@polymancer.com. If it's good and there are not too many swear words for us to bleep out, we might even read it on the air. Also, you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/polymancer. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/polymancer.
We want to thank you for listening to this special holiday episode of the Dicecast. We hope you will join us again in 2010 in January for the next episode. We would also like to wish you tidings of the season. We hope that you have wonderful holidays, and we'll see you back in 2010. All the best for this season, and look for exciting news from Polymancer Studios coming in January 2010. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Well, that's all the time we have for this segment. You can find out more about who we are and what we do at our websites, www.polymancer.com, and our main corporate website, www.polymancerstudios.com. The music for this segment, Fort Minor, Remember the Name, BYFH Remix by Chojin, Violated Instrumental by Technetium, Industrial March Beat, and Triple Layer Guitar in E by Neurowax, are all released under the Creative Commons license. This episode is copyright 2009 Polymancer Studios Incorporated, released under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative 3.0 license, available at creativecommons.org.
This episode may be copied and redistributed as long as due credit is given to the copyright owner and it is done in unmodified form. Dicecast is a trademark of Polymancer Studios Incorporated. The word Polymancer is a registered trademark of Polymancer Studios Incorporated. Thank you for listening to the Dicecast.